Hi, this is Roma Waterman, and you're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey.
And Roma will be my guest on the program next week as we get up close and personal with one of Australia's best-known Christian musicians. Women of Hope is entirely dependent on donations, and you can find out all about the ethos of the program on our website, www.womenofhope.com.au. Today we're exploring how we can find out our purpose, our calling, what we are meant to be when we grow up. I've been speaking to author of Clues to Your Calling, Janet Camilleri. Janet, my concern is when we become so fixated on a particular path, we can turn down all sorts of other important tasks. How do you actually retain a balance in your life in this search?
That is a tricky one. Identifying your calling definitely helps you to streamline your life. You're able to look at demands on your time and your energy by thinking, does this fit in with my calling? Is it going to help me to grow in that area? But at the same time, I still think it's important to spend time trying other things and to just serve people and help people. So I think I read somewhere that a good balance is to put 90% of your energy or time or whatever into your calling, and the other 10% seek out ways that you can help other people and do other things. And you never know, you might find that all of a sudden your calling's going in a completely new direction that you never expected.
It comes back to the point you made at the beginning about we're there to serve others as well, because potentially if you became so focused on a particular thing and say someone came and said, look, could you serve on this committee at school? We're desperate for help, we need parents. And you say, well, sorry, that's not what I want to do. It becomes quite a selfish endeavour, doesn't it?
It does, that's right.
But then on the other hand, you might say, well, I've also got all these other things and I don't have space for it.
Yes, yes. So it really does help you to get your life in order, to be able to make that call and say, yes, I can fit that in, it fits in with my calling, or yes, I can see there's a need there and I'll help out, or no, I really am too busy. Because I think all of us find it hard to say no. So at least if you have some idea where you're going, this will really help you out.
Janet, thank you for your time.
You're most welcome. Thanks, Penny.
Janet Camilleri, author of Clues to Your Calling. My next guest is a woman who has given her heart and soul to her passion, that of a foster parent. Helen Owens, hello and welcome.
Hi, Penny.
You have had extraordinary experience mothering, haven't you?
Yes, yes, you could say that.
Because you've been a foster mother. And how many children have you fostered?
Oh, over a period, I guess we were fostering for about 14 years. And during that period, I did count at one time. We got up to around the 70 mark. So somewhere around about there, probably more.
Let me just pick myself up from the floor. That is unbelievable. Congratulations. I think that is an extraordinary effort. You must love children.
Yes, yes, I did. We really, really enjoyed it. Actually, there was one stage where I just thought I could never imagine my home without children. As the years go by, well, yes, we did change. But yes, I did. We really enjoyed it. Our whole family enjoyed it.
So now you've got a life without children.
Well, that's right. I enjoy little grandchildren now.
Yes. You obviously find it very rewarding. Would you say it's been almost like a calling in your life?
Yes, yes, it was. I would definitely say that. We first had children that have come into our home from very difficult circumstances, like I'm talking about school-age children, primary-age children, and when they come into the home, it must be so foreign to them to what they've been used to. And during that time, we have just poured into them God's love, and it's been such a different experience for them. But many times when they've gone back into very awful circumstances once again, it's just like a cycle. We have really prayed for those kids that during the time that we've had them, something's been planted in their heart and in their life, and that God will continue to work.
What was the process that led you down to taking on this enormous task?
Right, that's an interesting one. We lived in Newcastle, and I had like four children then, and a lady was coming to our church, and she was working at a girls' home in Newcastle, and she would bring some of the girls that were in that home to our church meetings, and these were like 11, 12-year-old girls, 13-year-old girls. And so we started to care for these girls, sometimes take them out to do an outing on a Saturday, a weekend or whatever. And then one time, Penny, our family were going on a holiday, and so we took two of those girls, so we had six kids, And we went to the mountains and stayed in the caravan at Uluru Park there. And we enjoyed that because they were calling me Mum. They just thought, I'll latch onto you straight away. But what really happened, then we moved from Newcastle out to Central West. And those girls, they would be begging and pleading with us to please can we come, please can you take us. So we had the big decision of what we were going to do. So we did. We permanently fostered one girl and we took her with us. And then the department said, look, we've got other children. So that's just how it happened. It grew from there.
So given that those girls were begging you, mm-hmm. clearly your mothering instinct, the love that you showed, must have just shone out everywhere.
I guess so. I've never ever thought about that.
Yeah. But that's obviously, that was your gift, and you've probably got multitudes of gifts, but that was clearly the love that you could demonstrate to children was your overwhelming gift, and that's what you recognised your calling in.
Yes, I have to agree there.
It sounds like you fell upon it.
Yes, it just happened.
But when you fell upon it, you pursued it.
That's right, yes.
And you significantly pursued it. I mean, over 70 kids over 14 years is a significant commitment.
Yes, it was.
What kind of benefits do you think that you as a family had as a result of that?
I think as a family, my children, they saw so many come into our home, the situations they were in, the circumstances they'd come from. For our kids, it gave them a greater appreciation for what they had as a family. I know that God placed this in my heart.
God placed the passion and the desire.
He placed the passion, the desire, the whole thing to just take in these children, nurture them and just do what, and just give them his love, put that love into them.
Helen, thank you.
Thank you, Penny. It's been a great journey.
Thanks for your company. You're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey. We've been talking about how to answer those questions we often ask ourselves. What am I doing with my life and do I really want to do it? Janet Camilleri described this pull we have in our lives to find out purpose as our calling. One thing about callings, they're very individual. There's no way mine is fostering over 70 children. Of course, your passion might be as simple and as joyous as bringing happiness to other people's lives, as Rose Atkinson tells us.
I was talking to my niece on the phone a few nights ago. She's one of the sweetest, kindest, most loving people I know, yet has suffered so much pain and hardship through her life. Born with a congenital hip dislocation, she had it tough as a toddler. Then at the age of 12, her family was wrenched apart by the sudden death of her mother, my sister. In her early 20s, she was diagnosed with MS. A few years later, she fell down a flight of stairs and broke both knees. Her first child was born with club feet. Within the next few years, she went through the pain of two hip replacements. I have never heard my niece complain. In fact, when I ask how she is, she always manages to turn the conversation to ask how I am. As we talked on the phone, we were discussing, among other things, our purpose in life. She came to the conclusion that her purpose was to be kind to those around her, to love and care for her husband and two beautiful daughters, to smile at the old man down the street as she passes by, to share a positive spirit with all those who come in contact with her. We talked about our faith in God and his purpose for our lives, and we agreed that we don't have to search for our purpose as though it's unattainable. We agreed that our purpose in life, our calling, is to be what God wants us to be, right where we are now, in the circumstances and situations in which he's put us. The only real tragedy I've suffered in my life is the one I shared with my niece, the death of my beautiful sister when she was 34 and I was 27. I missed her terribly. She was sweet, loving and always positive, just like her daughter. Now, years later, we've shared our sorrow at the death of my nephew from the same cause, and her very real concern for her daughter's future, possibly growing up without her mother too. I came away from this conversation with my niece feeling so positive and uplifted by her attitude to life, her courageous spirit and her obvious faith in God, and despite all the odds, her sense of purpose, her understanding of her calling in life.
Well, that's it till next week. If you need help in uncovering your own gifts to find that perfect fit, please call Women of Hope on 02 9740 6355. That's 02 9740 6355. Or send me an email to womenofhope@cwciaus.org.au. That's Women of Hope, all one word, at cwciaus.org.au. I'd love to hear from you. Next week, up close and personal with Roma Waterman. My name is Penny Mulvey, and I look forward to your company again next week on Women of Hope.